You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Pacers fans, welcome into this Friday edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast, the official Pacers podcast of Indiana sports coverage. And speaking of Indiana sports coverage, on the other line is the founder and lead Pacers writer over at that site, Grant Afseth. Grant, man, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm excited to be on.
Yeah, man. It's probably a lot better for you since it's, what, 9:20 there, and it's after midnight here for me, and it's cold and rainy.
10:20 because the time zones changed, but yeah, still pretty good.
Yeah, I'm very jealous of time zones for watching basketball. I finished watching Raptors Cavs, and now it's really late. But speaking of the Cavs, that is the game we are here to preview. They play tonight against the Pacers, and if the Pacers win, they will win the season series against the Cavs, which would be very cool to see. And if you remember me and Adam talking about this game on our Thursday episode, we talked about how we were afraid of how Isaiah Thomas would play against this team. Well, the Cavs have decided that they are going to hold him out in this game because of his hip injury. They're keeping him out in back-to-backs. Cleveland.com had that yesterday for their reporting that he would play under 20 minutes against the Raptors and then not play in back-to-backs. Grant, how big is his absence going to be in this game?
I think it can be huge because we know Indiana's a guy like Isaiah Thomas could really have his way with a guy like Darren Collison and really with a lot of players. So I think it's huge. Makes the task of defending the Cleveland that like a little bit easier, you know, because when you have LeBron James, of course, it's never going to be legitimately easy ever.
Right, and my only fear with him out is that LeBron kind of plays backup point guard, which is always scary because LeBron's amazing. But, you know, he'll be more tired in the fourth, and he'll have to take over more of an offensive load. And I was at the gym with the Raptors-Cavs game on, and they were down 30, and LeBron was exhausted in the fourth quarter, and he looked gassed. So maybe him playing the backup point guard could bleed into the Pacers' favor, especially because the Cavs are on a back-to-back.
That's a good point. I wasn't really thinking about that one. You know, he'll be needed more than he, you know, the normal. And yeah, that might be in their advantage because everyone's human at the end of the day, even if LeBron doesn't seem like it.
He's not. He's actually a robot. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how the adjustments go for this one. The Pacers have beaten the Cavs twice to the surprise of many, including myself. The first win in Cleveland was sans Miles Turner, too, which makes this game all the more interesting to me because he'll be out again. You know, what adjustments do you think they're going to make in this game without him, especially after they couldn't pull out the Heat win without him?
Well, it's really tough because that Heat game, it was kind of interesting in the sense that they were able to hang around. Because I remember that initial quarter was really, really ugly from a defensive standpoint. And when you go from facing, you know, like you can't handle those guys, you're going to have a really hard time really doing anything of substance defensively against a team led by, of course, not to always go back to LeBron. But it's a highly difficult task to struggle against Miami one day and then 2 days later, you know, game plan for LeBron because you really can't do much against him. And if you're having problems, again, you know, with those guys in Miami, then I don't really know what type of actual adjustments you can make. But I guess, you know, just keep going for interior offensive shots because their three-point shot hasn't really been falling lately. And I guess having a guy like Sabonis instead of Turner helps you in that regard because you can have harder rolls to the basket and kind of just take the fight to him a little bit more. So I'd probably go – that's probably the best thing you can really, like, pinpoint outside, you know, like heading into the flow of the game.
Yeah, I agree with the rolls being a big thing, and Sabonis has done a nice job all year of, you know, moving the ball. When he gets the ball in the roll, he doesn't die because he doesn't have his mind made up on what he's going to do. And he doesn't stop and think either. Goes up for a shot or kicks it out right away. And, you know, Kevin Love, for all the good rim protection he has, he's not very good in space. So if Sabonis can get him moving a little bit and kick the ball out to some perimeter guys, hopefully they can get the three-point shot to fall. But after that Heat game, I'm not confident. How crazy was that 1-for-18, man? That was something else.
It was strange because when I was writing about it, I was looking at the box score and I was thinking, Darren Collison and Thaddeus Young didn't even attempt a three-pointer in the entire game. Like, that was strange. Because I have a hard time believing if they were to get some shots up that, like, five, you know, at least quality guys at their position would all miss. Because I remember Joseph was, like, 0 for 3. Victor was 0 for 6. And then Boyan, he was 0 for something. I don't remember. It was, like, 0 for 4 or something like that. Yeah. So, like, I have a hard time believing that all five of those guys would have put up, like, multiple, attempt 0 for performances.
Yeah, it was really crazy. And in the first half, I thought it was the Heat playing good D. In the second half, I was like, man, it's just not the Pacers' night from downtown. So hopefully they can correct something like that. Speaking of Thaddeus Young, if I recall correctly, well, I already said it earlier, but in that first game when they didn't have Turner, Thaddeus Young scored 30, I can't remember how many points, but it was his highest scoring game of the season. And I'm trying to talk and look it up at the same time because I should have had this pulled up already, but it was his highest
scoring. Might have been 26. I don't remember exactly, though.
Oh man, I thought it was in the 30s. I hope I'm right, but it sounds like you're going to be right because I wasn't prepared enough. His season high is, you're right, it is 26 in that game. He was a plus 13 in a 17 point win with 26 points on 12 of 18 shooting and 2 of 4 from 3, and that was sans Turner. So, you know, you can expect him to be employing a similar strategy in this one. You know, the thing with the Cavs is whoever's playing the 4 is kind of either a wing or, well, obviously LeBron, but like LeBron's not going to guard Thaddeus Young. It's either like a wing or Kevin Love, who aren't really good on defending the perimeter as well, and especially Jay Crowder, who's been a little worse this season than normal. You know, Thad Young could have another good game. Do you agree with that, or do you think he's going to revert to his thigh injury kind of bad games of late?
I think he'll definitely have the opportunity to have a good game, as you're, you know, for the reasons you pointed to. It gets kind of interesting though, because when you have like a Turner to pull away from the basket, and then you can exploit those slower footed or, you know, even smaller guys that you can just bully all the way to the basket, then I feel like then that's, if you're trying to run more through Thad, then that's probably a greater benefit. But I think he will, because Sabonis, attacking with him, which I'm sure they will, you know, as they normally do, he'll find him on cuts, you know, all that kind of good stuff. And it's kind of hard because he's one of those flow of the game guys. You know, he's not a guy you really, you know, as Nate has said, Thad, he goes up to Thad and asks him, so you want me to draw this or that play for you? And he says, I don't need a play drawn for me. He's, you know, so it's kind of hard to really pinpoint what we should expect from Thad, but I'm sure it'll be a good performance at least.
I'm in accordance with that. It will be a good game for him. I think, you know, just the way the Cavs play kind of caters to his play style. But I've been fielding all the topics so far. What do you think is going to be a matchup the Pacers or Cavs try to exploit in this one?
I think whoever's on LeBron, Cavs will try to exploit for sure. You know, that's kind of a given. And whoever's on Victor, because neither team has an option really for either of those guys. And they're the, you know, the ultra high usage guys. And, you know, just go at it, I guess, because there's no reason not to with Victor for sure.
Yeah, I agree. I think with Victor, if he's guarded by JR, it's just lights out. He's going to score a bunch of points. So I look forward to something like that. But yeah, that's a good one. Do you have any keys to the game that aren't matchups? You know, I think for me, it's going to be hitting the glass pretty hard. Kevin Love's a pretty tenacious rebounder. My gosh, Tristan Thompson, I couldn't remember his name, also a pretty tenacious rebounder. And LeBron. So they're a tough team to keep off the glass. And I think if Sabonis and Thad and, you know, whoever are able to hold their own on the boards, they might be able to keep themselves in it.
Oh, yeah, I definitely agree. That's one of the few areas, like, in the last little while that they've been, like, rock solid in, actually. They're almost top five in both. I just wrote about this. Offensive and opponent offensive rebounding percentage in the last five games. Wow. So, like, the guards have really been hitting the glass. I wrote it was one of the strange, you know, outlier, interesting topics that I wanted to write about, and I just noticed how high Lance's defensive rebounding, of course, you know, he'll grab some. It was like in the last little stretch, I forgot the exact numbers. It was like over 30, like when I wrote it, and I looked at the last five games. It was crazy. Of course, you know, a lot of those are probably like, hey, Domas could get those, and he comes in, you know, flying through and smacks the ball. But yeah, it's still helpful. I'd rather have guards attack than not attack for sure, especially when you struggle in that area with you know, a developing guy like Miles and, you know, undersized guy like Thad.
Yeah, I agree. And it's always funny when Lance gets the rebound because, you know, he's going to start prancing or doing something funny. Court. But yeah, he's been a monster on the boards. He's led the team in rebounds quite a few times. Me and Adam always laugh about that. And, you know, I when I went to practice and someone asked DeMontis why he only had 2 rebounds against the Bucks last week, and he said Lance. It was so funny. So I know he's thinking about it too. But yeah, the rebounding is going to be good. And this is a good opportunity for Lance just because none of the wings on the Cavs ever hit the glass. So I think that's a good one to look out for.
Absolutely. I also think hitting open shots will be a key. Of course, that sounds kind of obvious, but when you don't do it, you know, it's really like a real thing you have to, you know, talk about because, you know, Cleveland, they'll hit a high volume most likely because they normally do. And if you don't and you don't have those other advantages, you know, like forcing turnovers, all that good stuff, then you're really in a box.
Yeah, it sounds obvious until you go 1 of 18 against the Heat from 3. Yeah. And that's how you lose the game. Yeah, I agree with all that. All right, man, let's do the hard part. What is your score prediction for this game?
I'll probably go Cleveland with, like, I'll probably be completely wrong, but, like, maybe 109 to, and then Indiana probably, like, 103.
Yeah, it's always impossible to guess the score. I just like to see where other people are thinking and they're guessing. And I'm pretty with you on a Cleveland win, too. I think me and Adam were pretty close to about a 5-point win for them. You know, if they weren't on a back-to-back, I think they'd win probably by double figures. But just
I agree.
Without Turner. But the back-to-back really helps the Pacers. And I know that they've done well against Cleveland this year, but Cavs are a lot. And I think LeBron knows that he's 0-2 against the Pacers this year. So we'll see how this goes. All right, man, where can people follow you and all your stuff? I know I'm sure most people listening already know, but still got to do it.
Well, everything's pretty much when you have a weird last name like me, it's just everything's my first and last name, Grant, AFSETH. I write a weekly Pacers column for the Kokomo Tribune, so you can find that there. And I write basically all my Pacers stuff for Indiana sports coverage, and the URL is the name. So there you go. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, our podcasts go up there too if you want a brief little description before you get the listen. As always, I'm at TEastNBA, and the podcast is at Locked On Pacers. We're so close to 300. We cracked 275 today, so get us over the hump, listeners. Thanks for listening. Have a nice weekend. We'll have a Suns preview up with Gerald Bourguet from Hoops Habit on Sunday, and thanks for listening, guys.